Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Wednesday, the 11th of April. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Dylan Joel. Tonight on the show, we hear from Australia's inclusive rugby teams after Wallabies player Israel Folau wrote on social media that homosexuals are going to hell unless they repent their sins and turn to God. And Ruby Australia met with him yesterday. We also speak to the Australian Bureau of Statistics now that submissions are open for the 2021 census. The previous census saw 1,260 people give an intentional and valid sex and or gender diverse response. And now is the opportunity for our LGBTIQA plus communities to contribute to the conversation of how we will be counted in Australia's statistical future.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Rugby Australia's inclusion policy states there is no place for homophobia or any form of discrimination in our game, and our actions and words both on and off the field must reflect this. But in the past week, Wallabies player Israel Folau has come under fire for social media posts and comments in regards to his faith's views on homosexuality, and his comments which may put his views and rugby's inclusion policy at a crossroads. Dean Arcuri reports on this, speaking to Australia's inclusive rugby teams who strive to create an inclusive space on and off the field for everyone to enjoy rugby, no matter their sexuality or gender identity.
Australian rugby and homophobia has been a hot topic since Wallabies player Israel Folau posted a cartoon on Instagram contrasting your plan for your life versus God's plan, captioned with a biblical quote. When an Instagram user asked what was God's plan for gay people, in the comments, Folau responded, "Hell, unless you repent their sins and turn to God." It was the only response Folau made to the comment on his post. Rugby Australia condemned the post, stating that Folau's personal beliefs do not reflect the views of Rugby Australia. Rugby supports all forms of inclusion, whether it's sexuality, race or gender, which is set out in our inclusion policy. They understand that Israel's comments has upset a number of people and will discuss the matter with him as soon as possible. That discussion happened on Tuesday. Here's what Rugby Australia Chief Executive Raylene Castle said in a press conference after the meeting.
This is not a simple issue. This is a difficult issue when you think you're trying to combine religious beliefs, freedom of speech, inclusion, respect and the use of social media. When you try and bring all those things together, that's a very difficult place. Israel's presented his situation to us and where his views are and his beliefs are. And we're proud of the fact that he's a strong believer and he's got prepared to stand up for what he believes in. And we want athletes in our code that are prepared to do that. And that's really important. And both of us recognise that what we want is a situation where we use our social media platforms in a respectful and positive way. He's proud of what he is and what he stands for, so he wants to make sure that we're not asking him to compromise those beliefs. But at the same time, very much we explain to him that this is challenging for us, and any comment that he makes, and he doesn't want to be disrespectful or offend people, but how can he find a way make sure that he's not disrespectful, but it doesn't compromise his own personal beliefs.
Qantas, the team's major sponsor, won't be withdrawing funding to the team over the incident, but it has publicly condemned Folau's actions and supported Rugby Australia in its ongoing support of its approach towards tolerance and inclusion. The Informer reached out to Australia's inclusive rugby teams, the Sydney Convicts, the Brisbane Hustlers, and the current world champions of inclusive rugby, the Melbourne Chargers, to find out their response to Folau's comments and the damage these comments can do. Rugby Australia's inclusion policy states that there's no place for homophobia or any form of discrimination in our game, and our actions and words, both on and off the field, must reflect this. Folau's comments have put that policy to the test. Melbourne Chargers president Xavier Goldie wants to remind Folau that just because you believe something doesn't mean your words can't do a lot of damage, especially to marginalised communities.
I'm a gay guy. I've been, you know, out of the closet for a long time now, so I'm very comfortable with where I am. So personally, I kind of think, oh, well, you know, people think these dumb things and they say these dumb things, but it doesn't mean much to me personally. But then, you know, you think about the impact that words like that have on young gay people, particularly people who may be playing rugby or involved in the rugby community. They're really damaging. Nigel Owens, who's quite a famous Welsh ref, actually wrote a piece about that, saying, you know, he had to counsel a young gay rugby player in Wales back from the brink of suicide because he just didn't think that he was able to come out to his friends and family or continue to play rugby. And so when you think about the very real impact that words like that, careless words like that, have on people, it kind of makes your blood boil a little bit. He's out of step with rugby as a whole. He's out of step with the AIU. He's out of step with the other players and the culture that rugby union in Australia and across the world has tried to foster and has successfully fostered around inclusion. You know, it's no surprise that three out of the four semi-finalists at last Bingham Cup were Australian teams, because we have a very strong culture around inclusion in rugby union. So for Israel to make those comments, I'm heartened by the fact that they're actually completely out of step with the way that rugby union runs in this country and is starting to around the world as well. You know, what I want to see, rather than just Rugby Australia doing it, in addition to that, is the community saying, well, that's not okay. You know, you are a great rugby player and you're a good person, but those kind of comments are just not what the sport that you are paid to do represents. And so for the community to be able to say, and that's the wider rugby community, you know, the blokes down at your amateur club sports days on a Saturday, talking to their mates and saying Israel's comments are not acceptable. That's the kind of the movement that I'd like to see. Because I think when you've got the big wig saying it's not okay without the community doing it, it kind of looks like people are worried about PR. And what I'd really like to do is watch or see the community and the amateur side and the grassroots rugby take a stand as well and just say, you don't represent rugby at any level with the comments that you're making.
Sydney Convicts president Don Rose has applauded Rugby Australia for the steps they've taken to respect all viewpoints during this situation.
In response to what Rugby Australia has come out with yesterday, I definitely agree with them in that all players that play for Wallabies that are professional athletes in our game need to be aware and sensitive to the impacts that their comments make in the media, on social media and their various platforms, because they are role models. They are looked up to by a lot of young kids in our sport. Irrespective of what their beliefs are and their right to have those beliefs, it's important to consider the impact that has on others. I think what's important is that they make him aware of how he should be commenting on public platforms. The extent to which they communicate those discussions in the public is up to them. In my experience with Rugby Australia and my experience with Waratahs, I would have confidence that they would be having discussions with him around making sure that he understands the impacts of his comments. We provide a safe space for people, irrespective of their sexuality, to play our sport. But we also see that we have a role within our sport to make sure that those spaces are available more broadly outside of gay-inclusive rugby clubs, and that our competition in general reflects the values of what rugby stands for, which in my opinion is, you know, a game for everyone, a game for people, irrespective of, you know, size, shape, speed, but also irrespective of, you know, where you come from, your ethnicity, your sexuality, your religion, all of those different things. Rugby should be a game for all.
Proud of his team and the inclusive space they make for everyone on and off the field, Vice President of the Brisbane Hustlers, Jason Garrick, can't help but be disappointed with Folau's comments. Being an elite athlete, he should know better.
It's very disappointing. I don't think there's any other way to describe seen that from an elite athlete who purports to support and celebrate the game of rugby union in Australia. We're doing the right thing in terms of celebrating inclusion in sport, in terms of creating opportunities for people of the LGBTIQ community to participate in and celebrate sport. Sport is for everyone, whether that be rugby, whether that be any other sport that is played in Australia. The Bingham Cup in 2014 was a huge coup to host here in Australia, the first time that it was held in the Southern Hemisphere. And as a result of that, there was a huge amount of work put into combating discrimination against same-sex attracted people in sport. And it is really disappointing that 4 years on, that an Australian player is actually making comments which would be in direct contradiction to the anti-homophobia and inclusion framework for Australian ports, of which the Australian Rugby Union is a signatory of. And, you know, it features the Australian Rugby logo on the front of it. Inclusion, at its very core, means that you as a person, who you are, will always be welcome to play sport. Israel will always be welcome to play sport. But you have to be responsible for the attitude that you portray on and off the field to make sure that other people feel welcome too. That's the bigger issue here, is that you can be free to have the opinions that you want and the opinions that you firmly hold. And I will not criticise him for his strongly held views, which come from his faith, ever, and nor will anyone from the Hustlers. But what we will say is that you have a responsibility when you have those views to make sure that the way in which you express your views are respectful and are encouraging of people participating in the game or any game on or off the field.
And that was Dean Arcuri speaking to the presidents of the Sydney Convicts and the Melbourne Chargers and the vice president of the Brisbane Hustlers regarding rugby player Israel Folau's homophobic social media posts.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
The census is the largest statistical collection undertaken by the Australian Bureau of Statistics, and with more than 95% of the Australian households participating in the 2016 census, which made it possible for all Australians to report their sex in a way that was not limited to either male or female. 1,260 people gave an intentional and valid sex and or gender diverse response in the 2016 census. And now we have the opportunity to contribute to changes in the next census in 2021. Submissions are now open to influence the direction of the 2021 census. And Dean Arcuri spoke to the director of the 2021 census content review, Caroline Deans, about why this input is so important.
The next census might not be for another 3 years, but that doesn't mean planning isn't underway already for us to be able to create data that reflects the diversity of every Australian.
The census is a really important activity that all Australians get to participate in every 5 years. And we give through the census data on who we are as Australians, where we're living, and what's really fascinating is how things have changed since the last census. I think it's important for us as the ABS to make sure that all people can feel that they can participate in the census, that they can answer the question related to sex or gender in a way that is comfortable for them, just as they feel comfortable answering every other question on the census. And prior to 2016, we didn't have a real easy way for people who identified in a sex or gender diverse way to actually record that. We had the standard responses of are you male or are you female. And what we were able to do in 2016 was to take an important step towards enabling people to identify as neither male nor female. But we did make it hard for them, and we do acknowledge that. The number of people who did give a non-male or female response was in the order of, I think it was 1,260 across Australia. And I think we found that we put up barriers. We made steps for people to be able to respond in a non-male or female way quite difficult. And what we had done was we had thought it through. We had provided options. If you wanted to participate on paper, then you could do so. And there were just instructions given on how you would write it in. The form would still be printed with male and female, and then you would write a comment beside that. What we introduced in 2016 was an online version of the form that if you called up to get a special code, you could were then presented with a form that had an other than a free text field so that you could specify with the concept of sex or gender that you identified with. Unfortunately, during the 2016 census, we had the outage of the online form, and that put significant pressure back on our phone systems, and people, even if they did want to call up and get that special code, they couldn't. So we do realise that while we took an important step to allow people to represent, they weren't always able to. So what we want to do as we're heading into 2021 is think about, well, I guess there are a couple of aspects. How do we make the process easier? But also, what is the data need? And so my interest in this process at this time is to understand from the LGBTI community, as I talk to communities across all areas of interest, about what is it you want to see collected on the census. And we've got an opportunity now for people to have a say, to put in a submission to say, I really want to be able to identify in a non-male or female way and why that's important, and also for users of the data to be able to say it's important, for example, to know how many people there are in Australia with that don't identify as male or female, for example.
If you have an important question you think should be on the census, now is the time to make your submission.
We have got a formal submission process, and I think I will describe the process because it's interesting. It applies to submissions on anything of interest at all that you might want to suggest for the census. But in terms, if we think just about the sex and gender diverse issue, that is something that we're already addressing. It's something that we already know is really important, and we are going to continue to work on that to learn from our experiences in 2016. So it may not be that we need a huge number of submissions or a real high quality of argument advocating for recognising in a sex or gender diverse way, but there might be other issues that is of importance to the community that they would like to do through a submission process. But the submission process itself has only just started. We opened the submission process on Tuesday, the 3rd of April, and it's going to close on the 30th of June. So it's a three-month window where people can think about what's currently collected on the census and what else would we like to see collected on the census to tell us the story of who we are as Australians. And the census actually already does capture quite a lot of information. We've got a lot of cultural diversity type questions. We've got questions about employment and education and work. We've got questions about unpaid work. We've got disability associated questions, housing and so on. So there's already quite a bit on the census, but there might be some gaps there that people think, well, I'd really like a question on, I'm not going to suggest something because it might kind of push through, but I'd really like, this is my pet topic that I would really like to influence the ABS to collect. And if people are interested in doing that, on our website we've got all the information, but they can't just write me a quick letter to say, hey, I'd like you to think about this. There is a bit more of a process to it in terms of defending or presenting the evidence for the suggestion being considered important and relevant and acceptable enough to be collected on the census.
When thinking about what you might want to add to the census, you can't just have any old question added on. There are some important criteria you need to meet.
That the topic is of current national importance, that there's a need for data from a census of the whole population, and that's really important when you talk about some of those smaller population groups, for example, maybe some of the called groups, or in small geographic regions. And a couple that I think are particularly pertinent in the LGBTI space is around whether it's a topic that could be collected in a way that would be able to be accurately collected and also is acceptable for collection. It's not likely to cause offence or provoke some sensitivity or controversy or so on. And then there are another couple of criteria around efficiency and not available from other sources. So it's a fairly robust process that we ask people to go through and to really think about, is the census the right place to collect this data on, and if I take the example of sex and gender diversity, it's a slightly different process in a way because we think of, we're already collecting sex on the census, so maybe we shouldn't be collecting sex, we should be collecting gender instead of sex, or should we be collecting both sex and gender, or should we be asking it in a way to see if people have transitioned from their sex at birth? So I think that's probably where the space might be if we think about in the sex versus gender space for LGBTI rather than the non-binary, which I think is something we definitely have to resolve.
That was Dean Arcuri with Caroline Deans, Director of the 2021 Census Content Review.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
While great steps were taken in the 2016 census to collect data in regard to diverse gender and sexuality in our communities, our openness and conversations regarding this has changed since the postal survey last year. Darcy Meehan continues our conversation with Caroline Deans, Director of the 2021 Census Content Review, specifically in regards to the marginalised in our communities.
The results of the census depend on many factors, mostly accuracy but also accessibility. With some members of the trans and gender diverse community not ready to come out yet, it's important that the 2021 census shows an understanding of those still in the closet.
When we look at the criterion overall, we can probably see some really good arguments around it being a data need that's really important and so on. But then when we get to those questions that I posed around accuracy or even acceptability, if someone's in a household and they may not be out to the people they're living with, and what they can do in a process sense is they can actually request their own form, but that in a way is flagging, hey, I've got something to hide, or I've got something that I want to do to put on my form that I don't want you to see. So I am concerned that when we look at, say, concepts around accuracy or acceptability, that there might be people who choose not to represent themselves in a trans way, for example, because they don't want the other members of their household to know that, or there may be other reasons that they also don't want to represent that way. So I do have a concern that the data that we would produce overall may be an underestimate, and that is certainly what we believe is the case with the 2016 data because of mainly the barriers or the processes we put in place. But I think also we need to get that level of understanding of whether people would be comfortable answering the census in a way that would identify, be proud to be trans. And what we will do, as I flagged, I guess the first start of our process here is the next 3 months when we hear from the public and data users, the community more broadly, what are your data needs? But beyond that, what we will be doing is working very closely with stakeholder groups on all of the topics that get prioritised. So I do expect that we'll have to continue to do a lot of work on sex and gender well beyond this submission process, and we've already got some good relationships with some community organisations, and we'll tap into the community and find out, well, how can we do this in a way that is, one, about people being able to represent themselves in a way that causes, you know, is comfortable for them, but two, may also lead to some good data quality. So we'll probably move on to a testing phase around focus groups or other discussions, or really just understanding from the LGBTI organisations their knowledge. And I think when we consider sex and gender, we're talking about sex diversity, gender diversity. There are different ways people of various intersex backgrounds will respond, and various ways that trans people will choose to respond even before you get to the accuracy kind of measure. So it's a really, really complex area, but we are so committed to continue working with the community to improve what we do in 2021. And look, we may not get to the best solution in 2021, but we really are committed to continuing on that journey and to be able to do what we can to improve the process for people who don't want to identify as either male or female.
Last year, both the Postal Survey and the Yes campaign started a national conversation around many LGBT issues, with the results proving that Australia supports the community. But it's hard to know just how much things have improved. With the right questions, the results of the next census may help to show us just how much the country's attitude has changed.
I think the communication that's been able to happen in households or family or friendship groups of people who are identifying in an LGBTI way, they've probably changed. And I think there's probably been a lot of conversations in other parts of Australia that's also changed. You know, there's been a lot of debate, there's been a lot of heated debate at times, but yeah, it's also my view that the way we as a society approach this now is more open and more understanding that there are other people out there who are living perhaps in a different way. I would say that there could be a number of Australians who are quite close to that thinking previously. So I'm optimistic that the conversations that happened with the postal survey last year have, one, given confidence to people within the LGBTI community to stand up and be a bit prouder and a bit louder and you know, want to be counted, but also to the mainstream Australia to be more accepting and tolerant and open to hearing or participating in those conversations. So I think it's actually a great time for us to be moving on and talking about what can we do differently in 2021. And although I pointed out earlier about the government part of the process, in terms of specific question wording or the actual way that we would run the process or the communications around the participation in the census, we've got more time than just June 19 to do that. So we've got a lot of work happening over the next 12 months or so, but then what we do anticipate that we'll keep doing beyond that is continue working with the community to inform the approach that we take. And I think a lot of it could be about the communication messages at the time. And where we saw great success in the 2016 census was where LGBTI community organisations pushed information out through their networks to say, if you want to identify in this way, I think we pretty much produced a flyer. Here's some information, call this number, ask for this, or do it this way on the paper form. So the communication part of the message and using the networks is something we can do right up until August 2021. The short-term need is for people to feel that they can have a say in what gets collected on the census, which might be around that sex and gender diversity, or it might be other issues that are as of importance to the LGBTI community.
That was Darcy Meehan speaking with Caroline Deans, director of the 2021 Census Content Review. Although the next census isn't for 3 years, time is running out to get your submissions in. If you have an important question you think should be included on the next census, or if you want any more information, you can find it at abs.gov.au. There you'll find summaries and links to previous census data and details about the submission process.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
That's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform. Don't forget to follow us on social media at The Informer on Joy 949 on Facebook or at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you'd like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Dylan Joel.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.